Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. God's choices, blessings. Rest upon every one of you, choosing on our Lord this morning. For every one of you, we give praise and thanks to the Lord. To all of you celebrating 4th of July here in America, amen. We are blessed to be in a country where we can still worship the Lord freely, amen. So we are thankful for that. We apologize for being late. There's a bit of weather in our area, but we are here to declare that we are indeed free, amen. We are free, but we are free to worship the Lord. Amen. Let's turn our hearts to Him. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for these precious moments and the precious people that you're sending to hear the words of life. We pray, oh God, that you will anoint our lips of clay, that you will anoint our tongues to declare the words that you want decreed and declare in this hour. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we are thankful and grateful to the Lord for every one of you. All out in the chat room, all our phone archives, and all the podcasts. May the Lord's richest blessings rest upon every one of you, or indeed our continued prayer. We are grateful and we are thankful. I want to share something with you. On last evening, we were talking to the Lord and giving Him praise, thanking Him for the many, many blessings that He has bestowed upon us. Amen. One of the things that the Lord has revealed to me was going through this last severe trial. The Apostle Peter says, make it not strange when you find yourself in fiery trial. That means they're going to be some dudes. One of the things that the Lord revealed to me was that praise and worship gets you through the most intense moments of the fire. If you notice in the text, whenever in the Old Covenant, whenever there was a battle for the choir, that those who were the singers, who are the worshipers, as we will call them today, they were to go first. And then the warriors. I wonder why would the Lord require that those who were the singers and those who were the worshipers, why would they go first? When a battle was called, pretty much like when the man or the woman of God prepares to go forth to preach the word of God today. We have the praise team, we have the soloist, the psalmist, and we have the choir. They will sing first, and then the man and woman of God will come and bring forth the word. Why is it so important, and why was it so important that those who are the singers to go first in the battle, when there was a battle cry called? Well, first of all, the Lord says that it sets the atmosphere. It gives encouragement to those who are about to go into battle. It gives encouragement to those who are about to go in battle. Now, when we left yesterday, we left with the reading of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, Deuteronomy chapter 1, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. And here we have Moses giving a history, as it were, to the children of Israel as to where God has brought them from. That God has brought them from a mighty, mighty long way with his powerful hand, so no doubting should be nowhere in their mind, but yet doubt is in their mind. I can understand that, because we are human and we have a tendency to look at the human, look at the situations that we're facing. We look at the situations, we look at the surroundings, and it's not conducive to our faith and what we're believing God for at that time. And we're believing God for safety. We believe in God for our Boaz, and we believe in God for our Ruth. And the Lord has confirmed that he's in agreement with our prayer, and he tells us that thus and so is going to take place. And so, well, when you first hear the word from the Lord, you're excited and you're holding fast. But then a day turns into a week. A week turns into 2 weeks. 2 weeks turns into a month. A month turns into 3 months. 3 months turns into 6 months. 6 months turns into 2 years. And so before you know it, you find yourself in this place of waiting. Whereas when you first received the word and the confirmation from the Lord that this was going to take place and that he was in agreement with it, you thought that it was going to take place suddenly. You began to get things in order. You began to buy boxes. You began to pack up stuff. You began to pack up things in your mind. You began to start pulling out your dress. You start picking out your suit. You start picking out this, that, and the other. And then reality sets in that you in the same place that you was in when the Lord first told you 1, 2, 3 years ago. Ain't that happened yet? What do you do when you find yourself in that situation? Well, we find the answer in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 gives details as to Abraham. He believed God for those things and did not so they were. And he did not doubt. He believed God. He took God at his word, and he believed that God was able to perform that which he said that he would do. And he had to wait, one theologian says, 20 plus years for him to have a promise. And we know that in between that promise, he tried to help the Lord out, and he ended up with a child, Ishmael. But that didn't stop God and his promise. A delay is not a denial. Gotta preach right there. Yeah. I hear the Holy Spirit say, you know, you're driving along and you come to this sign and say, yield. You may not see them that much, but when I was growing up, they used to have street signs called yield. That's not the same as stop. When you stop, that means you cease from doing a certain thing. You cease from driving forward. That means you have to put your foot all the way down on the gas pedal. You have to cease from moving. So you stop there and let others go before you. But see, when you yield, you just ease up, look both ways, everything clear, you keep on going. But when you have to stop, see, that's what's been wrong with a lot of us. We've had to stop mid our journey forward to possess our promises. My God, that's prophetic. Many stops along the way. When first the stop came, you didn't think you were going to last that long. But here it is, 10, 15, 20, 30 years later. Do you hear me? And the prophecy still hadn't come to pass. I want to tell you, this was not on my agenda. I had something else prepared to say. But when you are no longer your own and you've been bought with a price, and that price was the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In these final moments, I want to prophesy as in the office thereof, who the Lord has called and ordained and qualified through the furnace of affliction. That every stop that you had to make along the way, every yield that you had to make along the way, know for sure that your labor will not go unnoticed from the Lord. Because once he revealed to you and gave you the prophecy, he had all this in mind. But I'm here to decree and declare that the Lord is about to manifest that he told you some 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years ago. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. If he not said it, will he not do it? If he has spoken it, shall he not make it good? There is no darkness in him at all. If he said it, that settles it. He's going to do it. Now, why all of his word will ever fall flat to the ground? And he is not limited and bounded by time and space. Matter of fact, he is time. He invented time and he invented space. So whatever that prophecy and that promise that he spoke to you all many years ago, know that he has been perfecting you. The rarest and the rarest and the most beautiful diamonds are those that have been hidden away for years and years and years and years and years. And when it's finally found, he has to go through a tedious process. But oh, when he comes through that process, is the most expensive, and it can handle anything. God is saying to you today, whoever you may be, either live by chat room, by phone, or the archive, I may be going on to glory, either by the rapture. But the word of the Lord stands. Hey, the Lord say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thought of peace and out of evil, give you an expectant. And I am the potter and you are the clay, and I mold and shape. I am he who called you and ordained you from your mother's womb. I put my words in your mouth, and you will speak what I tell you to speak, where I tell you to speak, how I tell you to speak. Because I'm God all by myself. God says to you today, he has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten his word over you. He spoke a word over you. That's why you haven't. You have had so much to endure. You endured much. Your testimony is powerful. You've endured much. You've gone through much. that if you try to explain it to somebody, they won't believe you. But God says, the thing that he spoke over your life shall come to pass. Because we are under open heaven. We are under a season of suddenness. We're in an unusual time and an unusual season that the Lord has ordained, that he's doing special things for his people in this hour and in this season. So be in your expectation that this month things are going to happen suddenly. That prophecy is going to manifest suddenly. That baby that you've been, which is symbolic of the prophecy that you've been carrying symbolically, you about to hold tangibly. That boy that you've been waiting for and holding on to, that the Lord manifested and told you who he was, you about to hold him tangibly.